Hello, everyone. Nice to see you all. Be comfortable. We'll have a little bit of a shorter med. I have to end a bit early, so we'll do a shorter meditation so we have time together after. Is anybody new? I'm not sure. Anna, have you been before? You have, yeah. All right. Well, you know the score then when you're ready. You can let your eyes close and make sure your bodies are as comfortable as they can be. Hopefully, there's some silence where you are. And you can feel that there's a sense of safety in the sense that you can let go for the duration of this meditation into the silence or the stillness and the togetherness that there's nothing that needs doing for this time together. You've left your shoes, your daily shoes at the door, symbolically. They symbolize the activities of everyday life. And you've entered barefooted into this shrine that we create together, and now you're settling in. And there's a it's a common shrine because we share something very deeply, each one of us together. So we create this sort of communal space. But then it's also extremely private, I want to say. Each one of us, we have our inner sanctum. We could even say our body is our inner sanctum. And the breath is something sacred. And then there's nothing else to be done. Everything can flow on. The thoughts and feelings and sense perceptions. They become effortlessly offerings. To the altar. And it takes a little time for the body to settle. And to receive the message that it's safe and kind in this shrine. So that in its own time, without having to do it, the body might begin to unwind a bit. To soften. The animal body doesn't need to be on vigil in the shrine. And so the weight, for example, can give itself to gravity. Deep into the body, you can feel the possibility of letting go. Letting go into the earth, letting go into the space all around. And again, it's not a doing, it's just natural. You can let the thoughts also relax, a bit like when you're about to fall asleep, when you're hovering between the waking state and the sleeping state, the thoughts become undone. It's like that. Just feel it, feel the, you're too lazy to sustain a line of thinking. Too lazy to hold the body together. Ah, yeah, and the breath might help. And again, and again, and again, and again. It's not anything you need to do. We're not going anywhere. We're not achieving anything. We're not looking for anything. We're just here together. Sharing the highest ritual, which is abiding and sharing silence. And we're not in a rush to abandon the body, to sort of try to spiritualize the body too quickly. First, we listen to the body very gently. Really, we don't have to do that either, but we allow ourselves to be caressed by the tactile sensations of the body, even if out there, outside the shrine, we would consider those sensations to be unpleasant. Well, here we're just available for what is moment by moment. Including the complaining body, the complaining heart. And if the body at any moment wants to move or shift position or breathe or make a sound, it's what's happening. It's the intelligence of the intelligence of the moment. Make sure you include the areas of the body that you might be tempted to not inc to exclude. You might be tempted to exclude the parts of the body that are heavy or dense or tense, like the shoulders or the solar plexus. Hello, everyone. The face with all its layers of tension, breathing, feeling, tasting. The life of this body. Or should I say, the life of this life? Letting life come back to life. Temperature, your hands. Hello. Feeling your whole body. Hello. Not trying to figure anything out or change anything. It takes you on a journey. Each one of us, we are taken on a journey. It's a bit wild, or very wild. Even though I'm suggesting some pathways in between my words, just go on the journey. Whatever arises, there might be images, strange sensations. Maybe nothing happens. Maybe an emotion begins to surface. And you just listen. You're in the wilderness. You're reuniting with the wilderness. If the mind wants to come in and ask why or what or where or when, just gently trace your way back into the body, away from thinking. You can trace the thoughts back to the feeling of thinking, which is an area of wilderness. The feeling in the head. What's it like in the head? Inside the skull, behind the eyes. Don't answer with words. And the breath and the movement. Very subtle, the movement, or less subtle, whatever feels, whatever the body feels is what it wants. And when I say the body, I don't really know what I mean. Nor do I want to know what I mean. And also the movement from movement, the movement from movement to stillness. Exploring that. Feeling that movement from movement to stillness. And then again, from stillness, movement arises, just tiny. Maybe the head or a little bit the spine, the torso. Tasting. And the movement back to stillness. Perhaps you can feel that in a way you are the stillness, the space, the still space in which the body can return to and dissolve in. It's one possibility. There's so many possibilities. There's also the possibility of not engaging with any of the content of experience for a while. Letting things be, letting things come, saying hello, letting things go, saying goodbye. After a while, not saying hello, not saying goodbye. Too lazy. Abiding as the sky, indifferent, benevolent indifference towards the clouds. And if there's a cloud that tugs at your sleeve for attention, you can explore. What happens if you don't give it attention? If you say hello, you're okay. You're surrounded with space. You're surrounded with me. Space, welcoming. And that's all you say. That's another option. And any time you find yourself taken again or sticking again to a cloud, a dense, dark, sticky cloud, a feeling or an emotion, a sort of place where you feel you are pulled back. That's interesting. First of all, it's interesting to observe and experience. This feeling of being drawn back into a sense of me, the body, me, the feeling in the body, me, the cloud. It's really interesting. I mean, interesting not intellectually, but on a sort of experiential level. And maybe that place that has called for attention, has drawn you back, does need attention. And so maybe you give it attention, you will spend a bit of time there on this planet. Not in order to change anything, much more respectful than that. We're not colonial, or attitude here is, it might be colonial at some points. We might catch ourselves being colonial because it's deeply conditioned that we want to master our body. And we want to change the feelings we don't like, and we want to do this, and we want to do that, and we want to plunder our experience to extract meaning, and we want. So perhaps before I say not colonial, but maybe we need to become aware of this habit of wanting to master the body. Master our experience. Make sure it becomes spiritual. Make sure it becomes expanded and meaningful. Basically, we're like the Jesuits, like trying to convert these layers. These indigenous layers of ours. So let's rebel against that conditioning. Let's not be Jesuits. Let's be guests in our indigenous bodies. In our breath. In our belly, in our pelvis, feel the pelvis and the earth. Feel them together, they are together. The sitz bones, the perineum, the root of your body. And again, don't try to do anything or understand anything, just wait for it to begin to speak its native language. Your hips, your breath. Your belly. Feel that very substantial place, the pelvis, sort of a base for the presence, for your presence, a vessel. A place that knows something. With its own way of knowing, nothing to do with thinking. So that's another option, this descent into the body. And then you can take off again anytime. Into the space, into the borderlessness. They're very, very different. They're like polarities. They're two different realms. And somehow, as humans, we, and I don't know about animals or trees, but I can speak for humans or for what I experience as a human. It seems that these two poles are, well, they are. I don't know that one is more spiritual than the other. And feel your breath. And let the body move again if it feels drawn to moving, maybe a little bit more. If your legs are crossed and they want to stretch out, or your head maybe needs a little reminding that it's connected to the torso, and that and the torso and the spine might be reminded of the possibility of movement that can ripple. And perhaps your arms might like to be reminded. Your shoulders might be reminded, like to be reminded of the range of motion. Circular, lubricated, all the articulations of the body, they love to be reminded gently, not mechanically, of the spaciousness I don't know how, you know, how to describe it in language. It's when we come close to this. This flow of movement and the body with the body, or the body as flow of movement. Your feet and your hands. And of course, the space beyond the body and the earth under the body seem to be completely connected with this rippling of movement. So you can feel as the body moves, the response or the correspondence of the space and the earth. Yes, and then again, letting everything find its place all on its own back to stillness. Letting the pelvis delight in finding where it roots itself with the earth, and the earth can line herself up with your body. This is not really accurate language, but I don't know how to speak this. And then feeling where your head floats on top of your torso, and maybe feeling the verticality of your spine between the head and the pelvis. Very natural, like it's not rigid at all, and your arms flowing down from somewhere around the clavicular region, the shoulders, your arms can hang and flow. Like two rivers, and then also from your pelvis and your hips, your legs, also hanging, even though they might be cross-legged, or you might be sitting on a chair, but you could let yourself feel your legs dropping vertically down, like two rivers, too. Can shake your legs inside the earth. Shake your arms without moving them. Your whole body. Remembering slowly its indigenous nature. Your breath, feel your breath, the coming and the going of river breath. Your in breath, your out breath. If you know Ujjayi breath, you could apply it, the filter at the back of the throat, creating a sound, helping the breath be felt as an even, smooth, effortless flow, the in-breath, the pause, the out-breath, the pause. You're just following it. You're not manufacturing the breath. You're riding the inhale without pulling it. Riding the exhale like a surfer. So close, so intimate. No knowledge, no anticipation. The exhale, no pushing, just riding the with your tactile sense all the way. And lengthen the breath very, very gently, with still with the quality of effortlessness, lengthening the exhale, the pause. Long, smooth inhale. The pause, and the, tasting the pause at the top and at the bottom. Letting the breath purify itself of the breather in its own time. Don't be in a rush, accepting what is, tasting what is. Letting the breath, the in-breath, permeate with prana, with this substance that's we, you know, we scientifically call it oxygen, but I wonder what the indigenous people of the world called breath. In the Vedic tradition, it's called prana. It's divine substance. The in-breath is permeating nourishing the exhale. Well, it speaks for itself, the exhale, doesn't it? And if you want, you can also lengthen the pause at the bottom of the exhale and lengthen the pause at the top of the inhale just to experiment. Maybe long inhale, counting 3 or 4 or 5 seconds, and then the pause for 3, and then long, smooth exhale. Or 3, 4, or 5, find your own rhythm. It's like a wave that travels from the root of the pelvis up to the top of the head with the in-breath. From the top of the head down through the central channel of the body to the root of the pelvis with the out-breath. Washing the body. Soothing the suffering of the body, relaxing the emotional knots. Whatever's needed, let the breath be. Healing. You can include other people in this breathing, healing breathing, your own body, but other bodies. Breathing is like a prayer. Yes, and after when you're ready, when you want to, you can just stop the whatever it was you were doing, just letting the breath be completely natural. Letting your hearts relax. Whatever that means to you, your that place, the place in you that can be open and vulnerable and loving and sometimes can't. Because it's defended and protecting, and but perhaps together now, well, you can let your hearts be as they are, each one, but know that it's surrounded with infinite kindness. Nothing needs to happen. To end, I'm going to play a piece of music for you. So just be comfortable. Thank you, everyone. I have to end 10 minutes early, so let's just have a short little break. 5 minutes. Let's have 5 minutes, as we always do, and come back. See you soon. Welcome back, those of you who are back. Feel free to speak. It's a smallish group, and you know the ropes. The ropes. It's April Fool's. Anybody got a joke? You going to say something? You're on.
Ellen, yeah, I wanted to say something. Yeah, I just had have a question. It doesn't, it seems like, at least in my experience, I don't have the real natural, feeling of being. It sort of seems like it takes effort for me to even, have
Well,
a,
how do you know
yeah,
you,
it,
how do you know you don't have a natural feeling of being? What are you measuring your feeling of being, your current feeling against? Whatever you're experiencing, Greg, is your feeling of being. Greg Booth, you are being. I think it's because you're wanting something different.
I guess.
Yeah, I know. But that's what I know. I know. That's sort of part of the human journey, is we sort of not liking how it feels a lot of the time. But and so these meditations are sort of trying to make friends with what's here without comparing it to a sort of idea we may have of how it could be. But I know it's not easy always, especially because we go slow in the meditations and we're feeling the body. And I know the body is often sort of layered with tension and unpleasantness. So you have to go gently. Don't, I think it's because you're trying to change what you're experiencing on some subtle level.
Yeah, that makes sense.
If the meditations get too intense, because they're just maybe just being here with us, or and you curl up and have a nap.
Yeah, actually, I wasn't referring to the meditations. It seems like, that is pretty natural. I'm referring to, like, when I first wake up in the morning, it seems like, why aren't I just naturally,
Naturally
enlightened. Why isn't I, why aren't I natural, why am
oh,
I
Greg, I mean,
so
Jesus
lost?
Christ. I mean, yeah, I agree. Like, Greg, after all these years, what's wrong with you?
Exactly.
That you're not already. No, because I wake up in the morning, like, I actually look in the mirror, and there's like one of those things on my, like, when I look in the mirror, I've got one of those things. It tends to fade with when as the day goes, because I interact with people like you, and then it has an effect on my what do you call that? You know, like an angel? I'm just joking. I'm joking.
Of course you are, but
I wake
it's
up, I think most of us wake up just like regular human beings.
yeah.
I just think we have to be really careful about all these spiritual notions of enlightenment in a way, you know. You're doing fine, Greg. You're doing fine. It's hard. Yeah, I mean, we live in the West. I have this at this at the moment. I'm really thinking about our Western culture and how intensely disconnected it is, and off balance it is, and it takes a toll on us, you know. It's natural to wake up and maybe feel agitation up there, or just do your best. Keep doing your best. That's my humble
Yeah.
advice, you know.
You're sweet. Thank you.
Lots of love, Greg.
All right.
Because I just want to add, because there are moments, I know there are moments for all of us where, as Greg described, we wake up and it's, oh, still these negative thinking and whatever. But then there are other moments, maybe like in a gathering like this or other gatherings or little moments where it's open and it's relaxed and something is recognized and known. And yeah, maybe they're less often than, they might be, we might like more of those, but I don't know. We have what we have. It might not be a mistake, you know? Anyway, I don't, the more I go, f the more I do venture forward with my life, the less I understand any of it. So I don't think I'm the right person to ask questions. Any questions? My God.
I think you're the perfect person. Thank you.
Thank you. 'Hi, Kyra. Go ahead.
Hi, Ellen.
I have.
Your question and your conversation with Ellen made me have a question. Like, Ellen, do we have to have the experience over and over again? Like you were saying, we get tastes, and the tastes are very sweet. But like, if we don't get tastes for like a year and we've gotten tastes, and then we don't, and we get like a dry period where we have like no tastes, like, is that okay?
Well, of course, because we're not manufacturing the taste, you know, like the taste comes whenever. It doesn't just come during a meditation. The taste, it's totally, everything's okay. You know, there are moments where we seem to forget whatever we mean by the taste, you know, the sweetness, the perfume of our true nature, as Francis calls it. It's not us who draw it to us. It draws us to it. So you know, you come here to this gathering because it sounds like you're going because you want to be enlightened and you want to be blah, 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 blah. But actually, no, because there's not really somebody here that could be enlightened. It's a convergence. I don't know. I don't want to put fancy spiritual language, but the tasting will continue. There might be so-called dry spells, but sooner or later, you'll hear the sweet call to turn around and spend a bit of time with whatever you like to call it. Because you are it. You know, why would you? You're not masochistic. We're not masochistic. We are sometimes. We sometimes do get lost in suffering, and we do get lost sometimes. But even that, I'm not sure that's true. I don't know that that's true. I think the getting lost is so, somehow part of after, you know, we go through this dry spell, as you call it. Later on, we realize, oh, how rich it was, and how necessary it was, and how it was part of the journey. So, I don't think. And yeah, I mean. I appreciate your question, Kyra, and I hope the answer makes sense.
No, it does. I like I
I mean, you know those boilers. This is what the boiler that you had, a gas boiler, and sometimes it goes off, and then you have to light it again. You have to strike a match and turn the gas on and light the flame, and then you have to keep it pushed until the flames. We don't have to do that. That we don't have to do. The flame is gets ignited whether we like it or not. It is ignited, but it's, granted, sometimes it's really, really dimmed, but it's never extinguished.
Thank you, Alan. That's helpful. I think it helps me take a little bit pressure off too.
What's the pressure in your case, Kyra?
I guess sometimes I I guess similar to Greg, like sometimes I don't feel a sense of spaciousness. I just feel dense and I feel lots of resistance and my mind wanders off over and over again and I can't stay with the whether it's in the shrine or just in just daily life, I can't stay with whatever is provoked feeling wise.
Maybe it's because something else is requiring attention, which is dense and agitated and needs to be explored a bit and this idea that I mean you're not putting forward this idea, but there is this sort of notion that spirituality comes in the shape of love, peace, happiness, and if and anything else is sort of a mistake or is an expression. Not at all. But it requires another kind of attention. Not we're not it maybe we could call it maybe a more of a psychological attention, but I consider psychological attention just as spiritual as because you're going to go down into the body or into the images or the emotions or the and explore something that is to do with life and to do with I don't know, the mystery of being alive as a human, which means it's got something to do with so-called God. Up there in the numinous spiritual realms, but down here in darker, dense regions of the body and Food for thought.
I can be dense.
You can be dense.
Thank you, Alan. And thank you, Greg, for the question.
Yeah, you're very sweet. Thank you.
Hi, Andreas.
Yes, I have a simple question, but also follow up from the other question also. So there is a taste, and sometimes there is contraction, relaxation. We are not grasping to the ultimate. We are also not grasping to the relative, and everything is kind of like open. And in this journey, maybe what is happiness to you, Alan? Like, what is happiness?
Oh, that's such a beautiful question. I don't think I can answer that question. But what is happiness to you, Andrea? I mean, I love how you describe this ebb and flow of contraction and relaxation and not grasping the openness and not grasping the, that's a beautiful, when that happens, that's meditation, right? That is meditation. There are moments where you will be grasping, and in a way that's meditation too, but and happiness to me, I don't tend to use that word very much because it's misleading, isn't it? The word happiness, we use it to describe something very sunny and very I don't know what happiness is, but when you smile like that with your very big smile, I think I'm feeling like we're in the vicinity of happiness and when we come together.
Yes.
But
Thank
if,
you. Thank
I
you.
would, when I if have a friend who's suffering or if I'm suffering, I'm not sure happiness isn't also there, in the background. Happiness, meaning that place which we might not feel in the moment of suffering, but the place that is smiling at the suffering because it's saying yes and it knows that it's all okay in the end. But from our limited point of view, it certainly doesn't seem that way, and it shouldn't seem that way, when there's earthquakes and wars, and it should not feel, it's not okay on some level, but from the greater picture, have something like that.
Yes. Thank you. And by the way, thank you for your advice in the last week about the longing is also the beautiful mother, inseparable. It's very impactful for me. Thank
Love.
you. Thank you.
Take good care.
Hey, Ellen.
Hey, Mark.
Kind of piggybacking off of Greg and Kyra. It's really dense. Like that's kind of thing that sticks out for me. And yeah, those tastes are they come, but pretty rarely. And I think I like that was like my it was kind of like the way I related to those emotions for a long time was just like I wanted the taste, you know, like I like it wasn't, you know, I wanted to manage them in a way or control them in a way or get through them in a way to get to the taste, you
Yeah,
know.
I do know.
You know, like that. At some point, you know, I did that for years. And I guess I'm exploring up more. I'm inclining less and less. So I'm inclining more, less and less towards that. And yeah, I guess my question is like, you know, because today something you said was like it doesn't have that meaning, right? It doesn't have that meaning. Is that that's like and I guess. I've been looking for meaning for it because, like, I wanted some kind of like psychological catharsis from it, but it just never it always seems to evoke, like, evade meaning. Some of those really dense things. I don't know if that's like a block I have, if it's a,
Well,
it's, you know.
I think there's different places in the yoga meditations. It's not about meaning. It's really just about welcoming the tension, the tactile feelings and sensations. But there are other spaces, and actually it could happen during the meditation, where one of these dense places or tense places comes with an image, for example, or a memory. And then suddenly there might be an insight, or there might be a meaning. There might be a moment, I don't know, where there is a sort of meaning, the way we mean meaning, which you might suddenly have some kind of aha, you know. And that's the kind of thing that happens in therapy, when therapy is able to work with the unconscious, with the places that are not seen. So there's not one way, you know. But I think I was trying to say something about that way we want meaning, you know. We have a dream, we want to know what the dream means now. You know, what's the meaning of, you know, the and that it's quite a violent approach, isn't it? It's what I was trying.
Yeah, I see. You wanted to like get to brass tacks immediately.
Yeah, that we all do it. We all tend to do it. It's very, very, very much part of our culture. Whereas in a way, meaning should arise. We don't go plunder for meaning. It's because we're open and exploring and willing to engage with imagination and with here with our sensations at another moment, maybe with our life, talking about something with our therapist or our friend, and then a meaning emerges. And it's not a hard meaning, you know, like ra it's a meaning that might then have another layer later on, or it might be one meaning, then there's an its opposite might also come. You see?
I see. And I guess maybe for me it's just hard to I'm doing that work, like similar work with a therapist for about a year now or so. And yeah, it's sometimes it's hard to navigate, you know, between like When do I approach it this way? When do I approach it that way? When do I just back the fuck up?
Yeah, those are so Mark. Hey, listen, there is no one right way. And those questions are amazing questions that you're wrestling with, because you're trying to you're dealing with your own inner experience, and you're okay. You're talking to a therapist. You're coming to meditation, and you're asking, well, when do I do this? When do I back the fuck up? And all that. Those are good questions, and you're the one who's in authority here. You have the answers, and I mean, it's great that you pose them here, but it's like if you pose those questions, you ask yourself, well, should I venture further into this particular density, or should I back up? And you might get the answer, you know, or you might get a mixed message. So, and you just keep going, following your, not just your rational thinking, but just that calm and your intuition, and what happens in your life might bring an answer, you know, synchronicity, or somebody might say something and you're like, oh, wow, that's what I was wondering about yesterday. So you just, we hobble on with our explorations. And we do get the big spiritual answers. We do get them through the non-dual teachings, but we still hobble on. And that's, I think, important, and not a mistake and not a failure. At least I'm going to say this to my people who come to me. Some
That's
other
good.
teachers might say different. I don't care.
All right, so don't expect to get any better.
No, yes, because but
Okay.
it's a better that won't look the way you might have concocted it. Well, you will feel better. You will feel more whole. You will feel more in line with, I don't know, you'll feel better, but it won't necessarily look like awakening or enlightenment or all those romantic ideas.
Okay, got it. It's okay. Your perspective on things, it may change. I give it you can. That's helpful.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Janet, I saw you sighing there. I it did not escape me that you gave. I hear you. You want to say something? I've got a few minutes still. Oh.
I'll just say thank you, Ellen, and thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
That's really what I feel.
I feel that too, and I'm sorry I have to leave 10 minutes early, but so be it. But and now I'm off to France to visit my very old mother and various other things. So we won't meet for 3 weeks. For instead of 2 weeks, it's going to be 3 weeks. So it's a dry spell, Kyra. But please come back, because I count on you. Take good care, everyone.
Thank you, Ellen.
Yeah, big hugs, Zuzu. Thank you.
All right, guys.
Thank you so much, Ellen, and everyone.
Thank you,
Thank
everybody.
you, guys.
Thank you,
Thank
Ellen.
you.
Thank
Thank
you,
you, Ellen.
Rose
Thank you,
and
everybody.
Thank you, Ellen. Thank you,
Amen.
everyone.
I needed you all today. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Same.
Was great.
Wonderful
Bye,
to
Maria
be with
Rose.
everybody.
Bye, Richard.
Safe
Kyra, thank
travels,
you.
Ellen. Thank you. Take care,
You're
everyone.
welcome.
Bye, Andreas. Bye,
Thank
Krista.
you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye, 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 bye,
Bye.
Greg.